Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the bag, horse stock is attached, and it's matted black. Got the boots black to match. Riding on a horse, you can work your horse. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Father rider, rider, got a V12 for my bride. Foggy rocky road, got a three-wheeler inside. All I wanna do is take a pill, get your chill vibes. Real prick, I'm really doing real dumb.
I'ma take a horse to Southbury Road. Don't remember my name, but I spent it on a nose. Country money, I don't gotta do no tools. On my minutes, I got women trying to sneak me through they doors.
Can't nobody tell me nothing.
Nobody tell me nothing.
You can't tell me, you can't tell me.
Hat down, cross town, living like a rock star. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar.
Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car.
Hold up, let me tell you something. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Hop up in my Razor, got 1,000 acres. Ride up on the couch, put the straight in on paper. Oh, oh, if you got it. You ain't got no giddy up, then giddy on my way.
I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
Awesome, awesome. Woo! This is Wonderful Wednesday. In other words, it's a winning Wednesday for all of us. I am Dr. Loretta D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. We're excited to have an opportunity to come before you. You know, I have my networks up running. I look over, some of them say, finish, stop them. But you know, these vessels we have, we're going to bring you an outstanding show. Our call-in number, see, all of a sudden we're getting some things going on, the video being blocked for some reason. But we're coming back with you. I got a lot of people trying to add themselves in. We had ad breaks in there. That's what we're moving toward. We're glad you're able to join us on Talking Sports Plus. The call-in number for our show tonight is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of the web link, you can go to hear the show through the web link. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. I'm excited because we got an outstanding format for tonight. Our title of our show is Who's In and Who's Out in the Football Playoff. Last night was so important because you had the College Football Playoff Committee brought out their top 25. Top five, the one everybody's so concerned about. Everybody, especially if you're locally in the state of Alabama, you want to know why the University of Alabama is not fourth, but they're fifth. But to be there and be considered as one of the host team top five best teams in the country, it is good to be able to have an opportunity. So we're going to talk about it tonight with a co-host. Now, I have five co-hosts that join me. However, I know at this time I have only two going to be with me. One going to start it off with me. Then this second one is going to come in about 8:30 and try to give us a little bit about our high school and what's going on. All right, again, the title, Who's In and Who's Out in the College Football Playoff. Again, we're being broadcast by Facebook. Always excited to be have a chance to be broadcast by Facebook. And while I'm doing this, I'm going to try to get us back set up through Instagram while I'm talking. and share some things. We'll see, can I get a connection there? We're also being broadcast through Instagram. And I'll give you the handle for both of them. But, again, through our Blog Talk Radio, our call-in number, I want to get that out because I want to get it out early. And I'm going to give you exactly how you need to do so you can be a part of this show, part of this outstanding show tonight. Again, 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I'm going to ask you to give us your name and your location. And then, you know, we're going to make it do what it do, because we're going to ask you to give your comments, your questions, or your expertise about the topics we're going to be talking about. Like, this is a voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. It is playoff time, especially in your high school. I'm going to focus a little bit more on the AHSA, and then we're going to move to the FHSAA, had to get a Florida High School Athletic Association. Then we're going to move to the Georgia High School Athletic Association. A lot of things going on a little different in each state. I know down in Florida, they're still trying to get those regional setups down there, those district champs, and they're trying to work through that from class 1 through 8. In Georgia, you have the same thing, class 1 through 6. And with your private school class there, they're working on it. All the other states are doing the same thing. But Alabama is sort of like at full speed. They're in their second week, but they're knocking them down because they're level 7. They don't only have 4 weeks of it. So this is the middle point for them. In the other six classes, because they have 7 classes, up six classes, they're at that second spot. They have 3 more slots to go. So it's moving pretty fast. So we want to talk about it. We're going to talk about the College Football Playoff Committee, how they come up with what it was. It right? Was it wrong? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the playoff in your historical black colleges and universities as well. So I am ready for the show. Still trying to get my network to work over here with Instagram. On Instagram, we're Coach. And that's at Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. Check me out on Instagram. That's Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. Check me out on Facebook. For those people on Blog Talk Radio, it is. You know, sometimes I hesitate to think about it myself. You know, that's Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. You know, I have all these different talents. Sometimes my mind's be running a mile a minute. I had to slow it down and get it where it needs to be. So check us out, Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. You can check us out on Facebook as well. Again, Blog Talk Radio, as I give those people a hand clap, a wave back to them. And that is 347 is call-in number, 347-857-4192. Then if you want to be a part of it, just hear the show on the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production. All right, let me introduce those individuals be joining me as the night move on. But I have, like I said, 5 co-hosts that works with me, and they have time to come in and come out. They're part of the show, and some days they can be here, some days they can't. But this young man is with me all the time. I'm so glad to have him, and we go sometime duo a lot of time, and I'm glad to have him coming from North Alabama. He's a coach up there and AD up there at Chapman Middle School. He coaches the assistant coach with the football. He's also the girls and boys basketball coach at the middle school level. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach Trey?
Doing good, Dr. Smith. Doing great, man. Glad to be here tonight. Ready to go to work, baby.
Okay, that's awesome, awesome. Glad to have you. And as I reach across my board, I got to make sure I get those people a wave. And it's good to have you. And the other 3 co-hosts, and I know for sure one of them will be in here around about 8:20, 8:30, and that's Coach Tony Starworth. They call him Touchdown Tony because he's always on top of it. He's a retired second man in charge of Alabama High School Athletic Association. He's going to give us our high school, offer our expertise in high school. He's going to be our resident expert. He's going to share thoughts about that. And he hails from about 25 to 30 miles south of Montgomery, Alabama. And it's called Central Alabama in Luverne, Alabama. That's Coach Tony Starworth. Then we have our Lady of the Hour. And our Lady of the Hour is Coach Laura D. Smith. At the time, I know she was practicing today. She's an assistant coach with the girls' basketball at Goodwin Middle School. and that's my daughter, so proud of her. You know, I found out something the other day, probably about a month ago, you know, I was out somewhere, and some young men hollered Coach Smith. The first thing I did, I turned around. I know a lot of people could be named Coach Smith, but I coached for a long time. When he called, I looked around. I did not recognize, so they're really looking not at me but at my daughter. So Coach Lori D. Smith, the torch was passed on to her, so she's now working at Goodwin Middle School, and she's coaching over there and providing some Dean of Education service for Goodwin Middle School. But a lot of times she do her best to try to get with us. She's not able to make it, so we're glad to have her want to be a part of it. I know things will get even better. Another millennial we have, and Lauren is a millennial. We have Coach Cameron Gilmer. Coach Gilmer works over at Trinity Presbyterian Academy over there, and he coaches over there and works in technology over there. We're glad to have Coach Cameron with us as well. Then last but not least, our young man that we have to give a shout out to when he's able to join us, because he's doing juggling two or three things at one time. First of all, he's over with his own radio station doing his thing. He's our radio personality. He hails from Fort Walton up to Montgomery. That's the way he traveled on his train. From Fort Walton to Montgomery, from Montgomery to Troy. From Troy to Dothan, make a pit stop in Op, which is his hometown in regards to being a town councilman down there. He's the conductor of the E-Tron. He's also the Don King of all things, none other than Darryl E-Train Elliott. Thank you, Darryl. Darryl, one of my frat brothers, so proud to have him as a part of it as well. So those are the people who will be co-hosting right here. Coach Trey, we ready to get this thing started up pretty good, but before we do that, I want to be able to give my opportunity to tweet the show. You can tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliott Darryl with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards, number seven, at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith. That's Coach Smith. So we got it all going. We're ready to make it do what it do. Trey, let's do this thing, man. Let's start off with who's in, who's out in the football playoff. Start off with the historical black colleges and university. We want to look at the SWAC, recap of the SWAC. Coach, can you share some thoughts in regards to how important that win for Grambling this past weekend at Alcorn? They beat Alcorn this past weekend. Tell us your thoughts on that, Trey.
Very, very big win. It evened our side out in the SWAC Eastern side. It evened a lot of things out. It put scenarios in play for everybody on the East side. Scenarios are as goes. Alcorn has to beat Alabama A&M University for them to Alabama A&M and is it Jackson, Dr. Smith?
Jackson State, yes, sir. Jackson State. To beat both. Yes.
They have to beat both. So Alabama A&M only has to beat Alcorn and Mississippi Valley. Alabama State has to hope A&M loses and Alcorn loses to Jackson. That's how Alabama State are getting there. But other than that, Alabama A&M controls their own destiny. They went out. They're in there. Alcorn controls their own destiny. They went out. They're in there. So at the end of the day, win out, Dr. Smith. Alabama A&M need to win out, and if Alcorn wants to play in the SWAC championship, they'll win out. But Alabama State needs some help. They need some help.
Exactly.
So That's the SWAC Eastern Division.
Awesome, Trey. And just to kind of add on to that, that was a big win for Grambling this past weekend. Everybody have to go back and look how Grambling started off. Grambling started off with 0-4 record, 0-2 in the conference. They were struggling. They couldn't identify anything that was positive. Somehow they managed to identify a couple things, got things rolling. Now they have run four in a row. So they stand in the conference. Let me make sure I get it right. They won three, so they 3-2 in the conference. But they're on the Western Division. They're second behind Southern. So on that weekend of Thanksgiving, I'm going to tell you, some people need to be in New Orleans. So you can see the Bayou Classic. It's going to be on and popping because Sullivan is leading the Western Division. They are 5-1, and if Grambling continue to win, it's going to be awesome. But Grambling helped out most of the teams in the East by beating Alcorn 19-16. It was an outstanding ball game, so that they improved to 3-2. So they're excited. I'm talking about Grambling from coming from 0-4 to be where they are now. And on top of that, as Coach Edwards said, Alabama A&M has an awesome chance to win. I was talking to someone the other day, and they was talking about, well, we're glad to have just a record like it is right now. I said, now, if you win the game against, if I'm not mistaken, Grambling, and win the game against Southern, you will be riding because your schedule was set up. Coach Trey, if you want to share some thoughts about it, so we had a conversation from the beginning of the year. We talked about the schedule, how important the schedule was. That schedule was not like some other team's schedule, and so A&M had a chance and still have a chance to be in the championship game. But let's share some thoughts what we talked about so we remind people what we had some discussion about early in the year about setting up a schedule, and A&M set up a perfect schedule to be in a championship game. Let me hear your thoughts on that, Coach Trey.
They set up a schedule to be successful to me. Like Coach Maynard said, they're setting up a schedule to be successful. They played some top-tier teams, not so far top-tier as you would think. They played UNA and they played Samford. Those were the only two schools outside of HBCUs that they played. So, to me, that's a successful schedule. And it was set up in a way where they could have went undefeated, Dr. Smith. And when you look at it, they beat UNA, and they lost to Samford. Samford got them big time. Now, I think the Samford game could have been closer because of what A&M was doing. I think one play broke A&M back. But at the end of the day, I really like the schedule. Next year, I think the schedule will be set up a little different. I know Coach Maynard said he wasn't ever going back to UNA, so we'll see who will replace them on their schedule, hopefully another HBCU. But Alabama A&M schedule was set up to be successful. We were set up to not beat our team up. I'm going to say that, Dr. Smith.
And Coach Trey, you're so correct. You know, then I compare to Alabama State schedule. They were money game. They played money game. But I always have a problem with playing money game just to make money and causing injury to your team, putting your team in a position where they can't win. Because it started off with UAB. They lost their starting quarterback, started the season, broken leg. That's a major injury when you've been preparing to have this young man to lead you down the way. Then you had to go to your backup, and then you was fortunate enough to beat Tuskegee. Then you had Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State stands there, FCS foe for the playoff. They're going to be in the playoff, and you have no opportunity. You didn't have an opportunity to win that. Then you came right back, and you had to deal with Grambling, and you was fortunate enough to get Grambling. But then right behind you had Alcorn. That's a tough schedule right there. That's not, you know, you could be 0-5. But fortunate enough, they was able to be 2-3. And then they had fought back. Now they're doing real well. They're back-to-back wins on the road. It's hard to win on the road in the SWAC. So we're going to applaud Alabama State, in regards to who the teams are. When you're talking about you're beating anybody in the SWAC, when you go to a SWAC, you know, it's hard to win in the SWAC. We say it's tough in the SWAC. Believe it or not, it's really tough in the SWAC. So they've been fortunate. So their record stands as 4-2 in the conference. And if they can beat Purdue on homecoming, they'll be 5-2. But like Coach Trey said, there's no way for them to get to the championship game. Everybody in front of them, like Alabama A&M, who they lost to, Alcorn, who they lost to, have to lose out. And that's probably not going to happen. So Alcorn has a tough challenge up at Alabama A&M. It won't be at Alabama A&M. A&M will go to Alcorn in Lower Mississippi on Saturday, so that's a big ball game. A&M win that game and come back and beat Valley, we'll be getting a chance to go to Southern, if Southern complete, or even Grambling, because think about it now, both of those teams A&M lost to. So whoever have the best record in the SWAC hosts the championship game. Right now, it looks like it was supposed to be It's supposed to have been Alcorn. It's Alcorn Mess Rider lose to Alabama A&M, then Southern would be the one with the best record if they continue, or either Gremlin. So we'll see how that comes and see how that works. So it's exciting. It's championship football. It's who's in, who's out. And you can be a part of the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your location and your name if you choose to do it and give your comments, your question, your expertise. Share what's going on in your community. We're looking to do that as well. All right, Coach Trey, let's kind of look at the standings in there and you kind of share some thoughts, and we've been sharing some thoughts about that. You have in the West, you have Southern 5-1 and 6-4 overall, 5-1 in the conference. Grambling 3-2 there, second place in the conference, 5-4 overall. Prairie View is 3-3 in the conference and 4-5 overall. Pine Bluff is 2-4. You remember Pine Bluff was up in the top?
Yes, sir.
A&M playing Pine Bluff. But you got to keep in mind, A&M playing 8 conference games because you're only required to do 7, and that was that extra game. And that may be what I think the other schools need to do instead of grabbing hold trying to make all the money. It just don't need to happen sometimes. Let's play where we can compete. Let's have this MEAC and the SWAC Challenge or Classic going on more so. We can get the pageantry back. The band is going to be there, and the fans are going to be there. Let's look at doing that university instead of going out there playing Florida State. Everybody hold Florida State, but they ain't any good. They trash. But, you know, Florida State still have an athlete, and they playing for this coach to have now. So it might be a whole different ball game, and we might just get the $500,000 to $600,000 check and come on back. Don't get any players hurt. Get ready for Prairie View so you can end your season with a 5-2 mark, and that's a good thing, especially as you begin to build and all the injuries. You had your starting quarterback to get hurt the first game, and you had your backup quarterback to get hurt in the Alcorn game, and you had to go to Mississippi Valley or wherever you had to go to, or Texas Southern, whoever you had to go to with your third-string quarterback. Come on, let's consider that, and that's what we want to talk about. In the East, you have Alcorn 4-1, conference record 6-3 overall. Alabama State 4-2, 5-4 overall. Now, everybody said, well, Alabama State ranked ahead, but A&M is 3-2 and 5-4 overall. And Jackson State is 3-2 and 4-6 overall. Alabama A&M has 2 games to go. Alabama State only has 1 game. So by virtually their record, that puts them ahead of Alabama A&M. But since A&M beat them, Alcorn beat them, that puts them behind with the call to the end. So we'll kind of see how they're going to fall. Jackson State is 3-2, conference record, and 4-6 overall. Mississippi Valley 1-4 and 2-7 overall. All right, the highlight game this weekend. You got Alabama A&M at Alcorn. 2:00 p.m. Central Standard Time. Lower Mississippi on the reservation, they say. So we'll see how it turns out. A&M, go make it hard, make it tough. You're capable. You can score with the best. So we look forward to seeing you have some success in Loma, Mississippi, and that way we'll be cheering for one of the Alabama teams being in the playoff. All right, Trey, any thoughts on that before we move to the MEAC?
No, sir.
Okay, awesome, awesome. We're going to move to the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. We're dealing with a team like North Carolina A&T, who lead the conference at 6-3 overall, 4-2 in the conference. Bethune-Cookman, 6-3 overall, 4-2 in the conference. South Carolina State, 6-3, 4-2 overall. So you have those three teams jockeying for the top position. Just keep in mind, FAMU is 8-1, 6-0 in the conference. The problem we have there, FAMU is ineligible for the conference championship and the postseason play. So we don't go into the details there. Some people want to know why, but they have the best record. They didn't beat everybody, but they're not able to play in the championship game. So declare the champion because they don't have division. They have 10 top teams, and those three teams are jockeying to be who number one. So we'll keep an eye on the conference. The outstanding game for this weekend, a spotlight game. Trey, we got this weekend Bethune-Cookman at North Carolina A&T, 1:00. p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's going to be on and popping right there. Whoever wins that game got a chance to move up to the top. Got a chance to move up to the top. So you're talking about the number one and number two team going at each other. Because even though North South Carolina State is 4-2, they lost to those two teams ahead of them. So that kind of put them out of the picture. So we'll kind of keep that, keep an eye on and see what's going on in the MEAC. All right, let's move to the SIAC. Trey, you had a big ball game down in Tuskegee, Alabama. And for those individuals not aware what the SIAC is, the acronym for that is Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Okay? That's Tuskegee, the Miles, the Central States, the Clark, the Morehouse, the Morris Brown, if they're still playing. All of those teams make up Savannah State and all of those. All right, Trey, can you hear, I'm going to share the score of it. It's like 21-9. Miles went to Tuskegee and beat Tuskegee 21-9. So Miles is winning the West. What's your thoughts about that? Miles beat Tuskegee to win the West so they can play in the championship game this weekend. What's your thoughts on that, Trey?
I'm not surprised, Dr. Smith. Big time win. Miles is who we thought they were. I think a lot of people had Miles beating Tuskegee anyway. Miles is going to represent that side of the conference in the championship game.
Awesome, awesome. And that's what we're talking about. You know, you can be a part of this as well. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and that's when your opportunity to get on. I'll make it live. You can come and tell us your name, your location, and as well as, keep that in mind, just keep in mind your expertise. We want to hear what you have to say. So call us, give us a shout-out. We want to hear you. If you got a comment, you can put it on Facebook. Type in your comment. I'll read your comment in regards to what you think about what's going on. If you want to leave some knowledge about your school, your high school, your middle school, your HBCU, we're not talking about, or whoever it may be, leave your knowledge on here. And we'll share it with everybody else. So the SIAC Championship, Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Championship, we played this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the campus of Savannah State. What they do in the SIAC, they rotate the championship. The same, you know, it's really the same, not the same as what they do in the SWAC. What they want to make sure is that each division winner get a chance to host it. Last year, Miles hosted, and Miles is the reigning champion. They're going to Savannah State this year. Savannah State final record is, and I kind of said they won the Eastern Division, and I think they only had one loss to their credit over the Eastern Division. So they're taking on Miles Saturday at 2 o'clock in Savannah, Georgia. If you can be there, check it out. If you're here and you're somewhere close by, go check the ball game out. Call us back on next Wednesday and share your thoughts about in regards to what happened in that championship game. All right, CIAA, Coach, we're going to talk a little bit about that. They have two divisions, the Northern Division and the Southern Division. CIAA is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. That's the other historical black Division II conference. And so far, the leader in that, and actually who won the Northern Division, is Bowie State. Bowie State is 10-0, 7-0 in the conference. And in the Southern Division champion is Fayetteville State, who is 8-2 overall and 6-1. So they'll be taking on each other on Saturday for the championship. That's the spotlight game of the week. It's the championship game. At 3 p.m. in Eastern Standard Time, that's Salem, Virginia, and Fayetteville will be taking on Bowie State for the CIAA football championship. So that's basically your historical black colleges and universities. This is what we're all about. We're the voice. We'll give you information. If you got any questions, give us a holler. Call in number again. It's 347-857-4192. Any comments, any expertise. All right, Coach Trey, we're going to move to this thing that set everybody off, and we can talk about it. You know, I didn't want to get specific about that game that happened Saturday, which is the game of the decade, but I want to talk about what happened last night with the College Football Playoff Committee. Was it right? Trey, tell me your thought on that.
Now asking me, I'm not going to say I'm going to be biased, but I'm looking at work of art, because like I said, you can't control how teams are as the year progresses on. I don't know what schedule people think they're going to have. You know, at the beginning of the year, people don't know. Teams lose. Clemson has the one of the worst schedules in college football every year. But they don't get the flack that Alabama get for playing teams as far as Western Carolina, who that was, New Mexico, Southern Miss. They don't get the flack of Alabama. But I think they got it wrong to a sense of as far as the work of art with the best one-loss team. Alabama lost to a team in the top four. Georgia lost to a team that Alabama beat and a team that lost to Appalachian State. So I didn't agree with that. Now, I see Georgia beat some ranked opponents, but those ranked opponents aren't on anybody's schedule but Georgia. You know what I'm saying, as far as that sense. If Alabama would have played those opponents, I feel like they would have beat them too. So, in a sense, all we can do is judge by the loss. So, Georgia lost to South Carolina, and I feel like that loss is worse than the LSU loss. I don't care who Alabama played. Ohio State doesn't play anybody, but it's their work of art. It's how they're playing against people. They handle business. But, I can't be mad. We lost the game. If we win, we don't go through this, Dr. Smith. But you lost. So we lost. We got to get some help. We get some help, and we're good. The last time we won the championship at Alabama, we got help. And they got us in there, and we won the championship. So hopefully the same thing goes for this year. We just need some help. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, awesome. You know, let me kind of share with you what the committee came up, and I'll just give you the top. I'll give you the top eight, and pretty much you have it. Number one, you have LSU. LSU was number two. They voted Ohio State, and they are now number one in the college football playoff ranking. Number two is Ohio State. Ohio State fell from number one to number two. This is the first time in this ranking system that ever had the number one team to fall down to number two without a loss. So that says something about their schedule as well. Then on top of that, you had Clemson, who was really hovering at five and hoping to get in there, and they're the reigning national champion. And it took two teams up there to lose for them to vault to be number three. And then for the swap of Georgia moving up two places, because they were number six to number four. And as Coach Ed was sharing with you, he might be a little biased, but I also look at when you try to use this schedule thing is look at it. Just because when you play somebody that might not be good, might not look well, maybe because the team made them look bad. Think about the teams they're playing. You said South Carolina beat Georgia over in Athens. And they lost to Appalachian State. They lost two or three more games. They don't have a strong situation there. Then you come and you start comparing other people's schedule. I hear this thing about, well, you need to play a better schedule. Okay, go look at any other team. Look at LSU's schedule. The only reason their schedule looked better here is because of Texas at the time was ranked. Look what Texas is now. Florida is ranked. Now, Alabama played Tennessee. Tennessee could be up at that level. If they was, then you had to look at that. But just because they're down, but that don't mean you got to play down to their level. You go and you try to blow them out, and that's what happened. So when you look at that, I've been a little biased with it too, but that's just the way it is. I had them ranked number four. I had them ranked, and I put it on Facebook, number four, but I fell one short. So we'll look and see how this thing fall out and shake out at the end. Some of the things concern people say there's no way they can get back up there, but I just believe, and in my mind, everybody hoping Auburn beat Georgia this weekend. Truly, I don't want Auburn to beat Georgia. I really don't. I want them to play on to the championship and lose Georgia. Because LSU, if you're the best team, you should win that championship because you're supposed to be better than everybody else. But if you lose it, then maybe even if you're in the playoff, you still are you one of the best teams? If going head to head between Ohio State and I hadn't asked that question at LSU, who you think wins? I personally think Ohio State would probably beat them because they can score 50 points on you. It's just like I said, Trey. Remember my thought was about this: for a team to beat Alabama, they got to score how many points?
Over 40.
Got to score over 40.
They got to score over 40.
And they had to hold on. Just listen to me now. He had to hold on. LSU had to hold on. Just remember that. Just to hold on. And if you come back and take the two touchdowns that happened in the last two or three minutes that was given to him in that point of the first half, think about that. Eventually, you know they were going to get cranked up. You're going to have to score at least 40. It gave up 46. But the bottom line, you have to take the good with the bad. So the ranking is good because I really think we're looking at that. And I was going down the ranking, and number four is Georgia with an 8-1 record. Alabama is number five. Then you have Oregon. Some people say, well, why Oregon should vault them? They probably won't. They probably won't because they're not playing anybody. You know, they just don't have a strong. Then you have Utah. My biggest thing, Trey, help me understand this. And I know the loss of Oklahoma was a bad loss. So their schedule is better than Clemson. And they can't even get no close to sniff the top five.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind of strange. They keep falling further down. And they was averaging almost 50 points a game. So bottom line you have here is that it depends on how the committee. The committee start off with a clean sheet of paper when they go into that room on that early Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning, make a decision. It don't make no difference. Ohio State was ranked number one. Now they rank what? Number two. LSU was ranked number two. Ranked number one. So you really don't think. You can't just say it's going to be like this. It's going to be automatic. So we can talk about that for a while, but we want to move to something else. Trey, I have a question that was told to me, and they were sharing it with me. And said, do you really think that everybody just Alabama fatigue in regards to the college football playoff? Are everybody just tired of them being there? What's your thoughts on that, Trey? And also, before Trey comes, you can have your thoughts on it as well. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make you live, and you'll be able to share your thoughts and your comment and just tell exactly how you feel. If you're on Facebook, as I'm looking at many people on there, let me know. Share some comments with me. Let me know how you feel about it. What's your top five? Did they get it right or they didn't get it right? All right, Trey, let's kind of look at it. Is it Alabama fatigue? Everybody tired of seeing Nick Saban and Alabama in this playoff. What you think about that?
The only people tired of seeing Alabama is non-Alabama fans. If you're a football fan, you want to watch Alabama. You want to see them in there. You want to see a Nick Saban coach team. People that don't want them in there are haters to me, Dr. Smith. When you're saying to a sense that Nick Saban dynasty is over, man, go on with that. We're looking at the future. We're looking at the future, man, and the future is very bright for Alabama football. So with that said, they can go on with that, Dr. Smith. I want to see Alabama in there. There are some teams that's in there every year too. Like I want to see LSU in there. I want to see LSU in there. And if Georgia can make it too, I want to see Georgia in there. These teams, I mean, for people to just that it's too much hate toward Alabama. That's how you know you're doing something right, Dr. Smith. When everybody against you. You're doing something right. Because I've never seen so much hate when somebody lost in my life. Auburn lost two times this year. And they don't get as much hate as Alabama gets. So we're going to see how it goes out this week.
It's fatigue. A lot of people just tired of seeing them in there. But I always say this, if you don't want them in there, beat them enough.
Beat them. To keep them there you
out.
Go.
You can't just think one loss will keep them out of that. Because they are considered to have one of the top four best teams in the country. Y'all have to accept that it is real. When you have the Jimmy and Joes and got good coaching, you're going to be at the top. Don't get fatigued with them. I ain't asking you to like them, but you got to admire the success. And you think that because they win every year, you have a problem. Most people know why they have a problem, because they think they should lose because their team is not doing that. You had to put a system together, and I love teams that can win every year, win the championship every year. You shouldn't be sit down. If you lose one, your next class going to come up want to win the championship. This is what it's all about, and that's what championship sports is. If you're not all about championship, if you're all about participation, fine. Be fatigued. But when you say championship, you have to admire what's going on. You know, everybody, you know, had a problem with Golden State. They so glad that Golden State ain't in there no more. I'm admiring team that went, and I was never for Golden State Warriors. But I admire them because they put the best team on the floor to win the championship every day. Every day. Every year. Beat them. If you can't beat them. But now, since the team is hurt and broken up, everybody like, yeah, that's good, man. That's good. You know, I don't want you to be, it's parity, but somebody got to be the best. And you got to strive to be the best. So the fatigue might be in. I might be doing a little preaching now, but this is what it's all about. To call that number so you can do the same thing is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and then I'll make you live, and you can share your thoughts and your comments and your questions in regard to the topic you're talking about. All right, Coach, did Nick Saban get out-coached this past weekend? I mean, this past weekend by LSU, they get out-coached, or did they just outplay turnovers or what? Share your thoughts. Share your expert. Let's be our quarterback, Monday morning quarterback right now. Share your thoughts on it.
I can't give it out-coached. I can't say Nick Saban got out-coached. There were a couple of questionable plays that were called to me offensively, but I can't say out-coached. I would say more outplayed. LSU didn't do anything different than what Alabama did. Alabama didn't tackle well. I seen plenty of free runs at the quarterback that they ain't put the man on his butt. D-line not getting off blocks. Dr. Smith, it just was so much going on in that game that it didn't look like Alabama football. I can't recall one time where Alabama DBs got their hand on the ball, Dr. Smith. The one time we got our hand on the ball, he threw an interception to Terrell Lewis. The one time. And that was on a safety blitz. So as far as that going, I can't say our coach. I just think Tua fumbling the ball, the ball going through the punter hands, hitting him in the face. There's nothing the coach can do about that. So I can't say our coach, Dr. Smith.
Okay, let's kind of stick with what you just saying. I'll take 3 points that you mentioned two points, but it was 3 points in there, and maybe it was 4 now when I think about it. When the punter did not catch the ball, put them on a short field, and that's tough. And then you come back, who are going in the end zone, fumbling the ball with nobody touching it. I don't understand that. And that was setting the tone for the game right there. Then you came back, and I'm going to take where this young man put both of them toes down to get that catch down on that half-yard line. That was major. Then Tua throwing an interception. How many? That's 3 turnovers, right? Isn't that 3 turnovers? Y'all help me.
Yes, sir.
It's 3 turnovers. And you got 3 turnovers, you don't supposed to win the game. But to have a chance to get back in the game was so important because the big flurry came, and let's remember, right before the half, because they scored 2 touchdowns right in the last 2 minutes of the game. The last 2 minutes of the game. I don't care what kind of coach you, if your players get out there and turn the ball over like Tua did on that first drive, as that punter did the same thing by not catching it. And people are excited. First black punter at the University of Alabama. Big ball game. What did he do? The ball goes straight through his hand. PRA or what his name? He's some kid to them boys out of Florida and the one on the professional team. He couldn't catch the ball. But that people say that is important because it's a short field. Team is already explosive going up and down the field. You don't give them a short field. You don't give them a short field. Then Tua tried to force the ball in. That's an interception down there right before the half that will allow them to come back and score. Those things are made. It has nothing to do with coaching. It has to do with players making the decision. They was not where they're supposed to be. I don't know what happened, but you got to get a coach credit for that because he got to keep them focused, got to keep them there, Trey. So we won't say you're out coached, but the coach didn't have them prepared like they're supposed to. You know, so that's the way it goes. And maybe get another opportunity. I don't think anybody from LSU want to see them again. I heard they was glowing and the pundits was happy because they got prediction right. But when they said, hey, Alabama still got close enough, we don't need to play them no more because, you know, Tua won't be injured then. And they won't play like this next time. And you know you got to score 40 to beat them and you ain't going to get scored. You think about it, the two turnovers right before the half, you don't even score them. Because I thought if they were stuck at 39, Alabama was going to beat them. But they managed to score one more time. But that's what it's all about. That's what football is all about. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And we have to look forward to see how this thing going to work out. If they get in, it's going to be a match to deal with. I have Coach Tony Stallworth about to join us and about to make him live. Coach Tony Stallworth, we appreciate Touchdown Tony joining us now. And we've just been talking about that Alabama game. I know you've been listening to it. We was talking about whether Coach Saban was our coach. Give us your thoughts on it, and then we're going to go to some other things, and we can move to our high school expertise. Coach Tony Stallworth joining us now.
I think what we all have to respect about Coach Saban is this. Coach Saban is an orchestrator and a manager of the game. And he was somewhat put into a situation where he had to adjust to whether his quarterback was going to make it through or what to expect from his quarterback. And you've been a coach before, Smith. You know, sometimes those things take away from your actual game management. You see what I'm saying? And
yes, sir.
I think that was – and then no credit, no discredit to LSU at all. I told everybody going forward that LSU was the only team that I knew that could match up. But for Tua to come in and do what he did, I mean, even with that interception and with the phone, hey, Fred, that's part of the game, especially in football.
Yep.
You can't have a mistake-free football game. So I want to say this, and I love Coach Saban's defense at the end of the game when he said this. I never forget it because I woke up late at night and listened to it again. He said, we have to try to control our own destiny going forward. That lets you know then he had put that game behind him. And he said this. He said that we have to give credit where credit is due. They outplayed us on the field. And we got to move forward from this point. And he said this. He said, I like the fact that our team showed resilience and wouldn't quit. And, I mean, that's respectability. A lot of times some coaches, as well as they are X's and O's, just don't know what the hell to say when it's time to say. And because what you have to be mindful of is you have to take responsibility too. But give credit what they do because he was not focusing the way Saban usually focused. He was more like, can my quarterback really do? Do we need to put more? He just kind of let things like play the way. Because, you know, Saban, all the time, he'll get hasty in a minute and let everybody know that he's in control. But he kind of like rolled that one out, and he was willing to take the consequences because of his quarterback having inability to be all he could be. I think he did a good job of handling that.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Awesome. I'm telling you, and that's Coach Tony Stallworth, Touchdown Tony, is joining us. We're at the point, Coach Stallworth, we're going to talk about the high school. And I want to start off with that the biggest upset, a surprise with the number one Saarland out of 6A losing to Park Crossing, as well as Pike County losing to T.R. Miller. I want you to share your thoughts and give the rest of your information in regards to
I'll start with Pike County. Let's be mindful on Pike County. Pike County was undefeated. Pike County plays a very good schedule. But what Pike County failed to realize, or what Pike County community failed to realize, not only were they faced with a traditionally bound program in T.R. Miller, the coach from T.R. Miller was from Maplesville, too, so he'd been there. And
yep.
it was a situation where there was no unreadiness. It was extreme preparation and prepare. And when you go to programs like T.R. Miller, which have all the resources in the world, and you come from Maplesville out of Chilton County, where, hey, you're making what you can do what it do, the edge was going in. A lot of people didn't understand who that was going in and who was prepared going in. On Park Crossing and Saraland, on the other hand, was in a situation where they only played, Brad and our listeners, those teams that they had to play in that classification situation. They never reached out. They never reached out like, for example, Park Crossing playing the Carvers and Dothan and
Jeff Davis.
Their preparation to me was a lot more. And I'm gonna give C.J. Harris credit. Sometimes I get off of C.J. Harris sometimes because I try to help him grow up. But C.J. gonna be who C.J. is, and I love him for that. C.J. is a guru for football now. We can't take that from him. He loves it.
Nope.
C.J. done been around football all his life. And he was due. And I think what C.J. has done, Coach Harris, is those kids have bought into him. And he's been allowed to look at the things that he didn't get a chance to do or some of the things that he got a chance to do and couldn't get it done. And I think he's landed a pretty good spot there, because Park Crossing has some resources. They got great kids. They needed that type of leadership there. So a lot of times in these larger programs, 3 through 7, 8, you get one of them 4 seeds that come in there. You better go back and look at the strength of their schedule. They might be 4 seeds because who they had to play or played along the way. So I was not totally surprised with that. I was a bit surprised, and I started thinking about who was in charge of this, who may have prepared this, who may have had an opportunity to say, you know what, we can get this done. You know, you can make your kids leave now. Because I know that when kids buy into you, they don't care anything about what they haven't done. They jump off cliff for you. So I think that's where we are there. But we got some real, real good rounds going here. I'm going to touch on a few. I think the Sweetwater Maplesville in 1A is going to be a real good one, I think. And, of course, you got to look at and I'm going to tell y'all this. Keep an eye on Isabella. Isabella now has risen up over there in Chilton County because old buddy's not at Maplesville anymore. 2A is going to be a good one with Leroy and Goshen. Let's not forget about Fife is still in the hunt. They got Ranburn, Laverne. Don't forget, they were the runner-up last year with Fife. They got the Skipperfield GW Long. Now, we got some local people now that I think need to take in consideration. Let's look at St. James and Flomerton. St. James has to travel. And then you got Montgomery Academy is going to be at home in that same T.R. Miller that beat Pike County will be coming to Montgomery. And, of course, for the sake of the North, I like the Westminster and Randolph County on that, too. And let's not forget old Coach Smith at Piedmont, several state championships. He got Lauderdale County. In 4A, USM Wright, defending state champ, will take on Talladega. They'll come out of there. I like Andalusia still hanging around. I would love to see a rematch in the quarterfinals with Andalusia and UMass Wright. They're from the same district. Hillcrest Evergreen, our fat brother, is coming to town. No, I'm sorry. He's traveling to Tuscaloosa for American Christian. And, of course,
American
we got – right, and on down the line, Destin on and out in that bottom bracket would be good. Now, 5A. Now, I like the Valley and Ramsey. You know, Ramsey has really, really become a twofold program up there in basketball and football,
yeah.
even though they're a magnet school. Greenville had a lot of kids that were, including the quarterback, that's been hurt. They still alive. They got Bibb County. I like Trey Sink, Madison County, have and Alexander, and Central Clay down with Jasper. 6A. Paul Crossing mm-hmm. takes on Stanhope Elmore, and guess what? Paul Crossing will be in the bowl, isn't that right?
Yes, in
yep,
the bowl.
That's home. That's right. That's going to be a good one. I think Paul Crossing is going to get a lot of fans. There ain't too many people left in Montgomery. I like the Eufaula and Hueytown. And of course, Patriarch and Athens and Coleman and Oxford. And I look down the list there, you got Pinson Valley. You're going to visit Fort Frayne, 7A. Central Phoenix City, the Phoenix State champion, will take on Pratt. Let's give Pratt an applause. That has really been a surprise. But they
yes,
of course, surprise right now. McGill-Tulin, that would be a real good one there if McGill-Tulin knock off Auburn, which I think, and they'll play the winner between Central Phoenix City and Pratt. And Trey up top, James Clemens, got their hands full with Hoover. Now, one thing about Hoover, when the game gets big, they get big with the game.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
But here's the deal. If they come through with who? With James Clemens, they got Thompson in the Thompson Florence game. Great week of basketball. What we want to do for our listeners is to keep them abreast because we can get most of this covered because the bracket get lesser by the week because somebody got to go to the house. There you have it. High school outlook for 2019 playoffs.
Coach Stallworth, we do appreciate you bringing in that expertise about the high school. So we're going to kind of thank you so much for doing it. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and we look to have some more information on next week as well as your expertise in regards to the other topics. Coach Elwood, do you have anything you want to share? We're out at the 8:56 point of our hour, 9:56 on the East Coast. Got about 3 minutes. Any other thoughts you want to share, Coach Elwood?
Dr. Smith, Touchdown Tony, I've been telling y'all all year, man, the Jane Clement team is special, man. This team is special, man. They pulled this one off, man. I think they got a chance. Superior athletes.
Why you think I'm
talking about this? but like you said, Coach Stower, James Clements played big schools. Like you said, they played Grayson out of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And to get ready for this year. And they played Clay Chalkville. So anything else they ran into, they pretty much knocked them down. So they played some top 10.
Am I right to say that Hoover doesn't have their quarterback?
That's a key.
Yeah.
That's a key
right
there.
This is the time to get them right here.
Yeah. So, but I'm going with them Jets, man. I'm rolling with them. I'm a roll with CJ and Park Crossing too, man. Just growing up with CJ and CJ playing in some of the same systems that I played in. So, good luck to CJ. And let's go Jets, baby.
Coach, before you go, how about your basketball? How's your middle school basketball going on?
We getting on track, Dr. Smith. We took an early loss, early the first game of the year coming off of, you know, football. You know, we making a turnover within 2 and 3 days. So we only had 3 full practices. So guys came out, threw one up the butt real quick. So, we came back after that. We beat Williams. Boys beat Williams by 28, and we just beat Huntsville Junior High 51-14. So, these Joker coming out thumping. Now, the girls, they won their first game by 10, lost the second game by 2, and the third game they just won by 15, so they're looking good too. So the boys and girls looking pretty sound. We got Morris Middle School tomorrow, so we'll see how that works. So I have something ready for y'all next week.
Thank you for sharing. That's it. Thank you for sharing that with us. It was a great opportunity to have some middle school talk about basketball. We're going to get into basketball when it's time, but right now we're talking about football playoff. Coach Starwood, you want to share something as you close out?
Well, I like what I saw last night when I saw Ever Langston with Walker McCarter take on those mighty Kentucky Wildcats. It goes to show you that. It goes to show you that anything happen at any given time.
Exactly.
Go
Hornets.
That's what I said about that's what I like about the Hornets. They may not ever feel like they got a chance, but they don't back down with anybody.
There you go. That's the key to it right there. That's awesome. Thank you, Coach, so much for joining us. Coach Edwards, thank you for joining us. You know, I want to give my shout-out to those people joining. I see on Blog Talk Radio when I recognize their name and their number, I give you a shout-out. But we have quite a few people on Facebook that want to make sure we give them a shout-out, and I always try to do it. My frat brother, none other, our frat brother, Rob McGee.
Yeah.
Go Bob. I made a Sigma fraternity. Rob McGee joining us. Katrina Feather, she's out there. I always give her a shout out on Atlanta Highway out there at Wally World Walmart. She's out there. She's handling things out there. Dana Bowser, a sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She's joined us. Thank you so much, Dana. Tremaine Edwards, our co-host. He was just on. He was doing it both ways. Thank you, Coach. We have Vantonia Wright, another sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Shawana Warren Cotes. We also have, and I see it right here, we have a frat brother out of South Florida, my president down at Rho Sigma chapter in Miami, past president Terrence Babyhead Gibson. Thank you, Terrence. Yvette Smith, my biological sister, thank you so much. LaPrice Sanford. We also have Shanita Arrington Mitchell, good friend of the family. Thank you, Shanita, so much. Kristen Barrows, thank you for joining us. Deborah Yvonne Holm, family friend. Thank you, fam. We also have Paris Yvette Geeters. Thank you so much. You have Jessica M. Anderson. We also have Monique Sunshine Boyd. Thank you, Monique, so much. And also, congratulations in order to you being getting engaged and want to get married next year this time. All right, Monique.
Good luck.
Awesome, awesome. Awesome. We also have Beverly Lachey Johnson, one of my students down there from McKenzie School when I was a coach and teacher down there in McKenzie, Alabama. Coach Starwood, know by McKenzie. Thank you so much, Beverly.
Yeah.
Johnson. Then we also have Samantha Smith. Thank you, Samantha, for joining us. Capucina Ware. Thank you, Capucina, so much. I was over at the game the other night and saw your son playing at Brew Tech. Tell him continue to grind and good luck to Brew Tech. They beat Jeff Davis recently. We have Chandra Carr. Thank you, Chandra, so much. We have Yvonne Pryor Anderson. Thank you. We have Jennifer Edwards. The mother of Coach Tremaine Edwards. Thank you, Jennifer Edwards, so much for joining us. She says she's here. Also on Blog Talk Radio, we have Crystal Porter, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority up there in Columbus, Ohio. She's joining us. Thank you so much. We also have Dr. Olivia E. Smith, a co-host of Talking Real to You, joining us as well. And again, I see Coach Tremaine Edwards' number on Blog Talk Reg. That's Jennifer Edwards. Thank you, Ms. Edwards, for joining us. So, also, I have my frat brother over here, Wolverine1914 on Instagram. Thank you so much. Hand clap back to you, brother. Thank you so much. All of you gave us an opportunity to share things tonight. It's so exciting to have an opportunity to do this. This is Winning Wednesday. It's not wonderful. It's Winning Wednesday. Hump Day. Again, Talking Sports Plus, you come here every Wednesday. We're going to have a show on Balling for the Doc on Friday at 2:30.
and 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, 2:30 Central Standard Time. Then Monday, Talk of Real to You. We have a special guest. We have a licensed clinical social worker out of South Florida, Lisa Levine. We have her joining us as well. She'll be joining us and talking with us, sharing some things about the Parkland shooting on our show on Monday night. And then on Tuesday night, we'll have our relationship show. The Monday night show is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Our Tuesday night show is 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then we'll be back with our Wednesday night show. Exciting to have the Coach Stallworth. We're going to close this thing out. We always, you know, do it the best way we can do it. I'm going to let you shed it out the right way. Call, you know, make it do what it do, Coach. What's your favorite thing you want to leave with?
As always, thank you, listeners, for listening in. Hope that we got some information there for you. As I leave today, have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I'm going to say this, what I always say. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. But last but not least, and, you know, how do you want it? We're talking about Tupac, and we don't own the rights to the music, but we want to play this, you know. And I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll check you out on Friday at 2:30.
Hello. Hello. Got a brother wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Wanna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, I'm the fly about it. Catch you at the club, your hips have got me feeling. Body talking quick to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then here's your chance. Do an 80 on the freeway, catch me if you can. But give me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man. All I want is money plus the fame. I'm a simple man, Mr. International, player with a passport. Just like a Latin switch, get you anything you ask for. Either him or me, the champagne and the sea. Favor of my homies when we fall on our enemies. Witness as we creep to a low speed. What my foes need, make some OGs from you don't need. Approaching women with a passion, but a long day. But I've been driven by attraction in a strong way. Your body is banging, baby. I love the way you're flowing. Time to give it to daddy. Sugar, now tell me how you want it.